All right. Renee, Sean, and MT, where you at? Come on up here. Come on down. This is the four that went with us, or the three, I miscounted. Four of us all together, yeah. These folks went with us to Mexico, and I'll just start it off a little bit. We get to Indianapolis. We have 52 minutes. Once we get to Houston, we had 52 minutes in the airport there, the big airport of Houston, to get our little plane that's a small little plane going to Veracruz. Goes out of there once a day. And we get to Indianapolis, and they delayed our plane 35 minutes. Yeah, I know. And this is a funny story. I'm on the humor in this. I go to the restroom. The team's all sitting here like this, looking this away, and behind them is the board telling us that the thing's been delayed. I go to the restroom. I come back. I look up. My eyes are shocked. I thought, well, it's no use to just tell them about it. I'll just go to the counter and see what we can do. So I'm up at the counter asking the guy, can we go to Monterrey? Can we go to Mexico City? Can we go here? Can we go? He's sitting there saying, no. And I don't even know if you guys even, you didn't know anything about the delay. I thought, I'll just spare them all that until we find out what we can do, you know. And about the time they came up to talk to me, they made this announcement that the plane to Denver was now going to go to Houston, because the plane from Denver was sitting on the tarmac, so they sent us to Houston. And so that, and as I sat down, I thought, oh, I hope the whole trip's not like this. And it wasn't. So we did make our connection, and we were happy about that. We felt like God really helped us in that. Who wants to go first? All of you want to go first.
Hi. First of all, I want to thank everyone for their prayers while we were gone and in anticipation of it and everything. We definitely sense those prayers. Let's see. One thing I wanted to talk about was the weather. It rained, and it was not the rainy season. It rained every day. But what was interesting was before we would do the services of an evening, they were always, for the most part, outside, not always, but for the most part, and it would quit raining just before we sat up and got ready, and then soon right after the service, it would start again. And so I was cold the whole time. Everybody else thought this was great after coming from the temperatures we were having, but with the dampness, and I was freezing the first night. There's not heat in the rooms. I had borrowed one of their blankets. I had three wool blankets on me because I was so cold. But anyway, that's a side note. One story I wanted to share, too, was when we were in one of the villages to gather people up to invite them to the service. I had never in my life, I was in India at one time, and there was poverty there. I had never seen poverty like this. And the people were so happy and, I mean, you know, just joyful. Well, we were standing there visiting with them. I couldn't visit because I didn't speak a word of Spanish. That's another story. But anyway, while we were there, someone had brought them a stack of tortillas. And while we were sitting there, I noticed the lady was doing something, but I didn't really pay attention. And all of a sudden, I noticed that here they came and handed us each a stack of tortillas. They wanted to give them to us. Wrecked me. I was like, no, because I knew they needed them. And Pat was like, take it. And then they knew I was upset, so they were saying, oh, you can put guacamole on them and salsa. And, you know, I guess they thought I was upset because I didn't know what to do with them. But anyway, we did take them. But that, their generosity in that poverty, I couldn't handle. Anyway, let's see. One thing, too, there's a language barrier. I did not anticipate for myself how that would be so hard for me because I couldn't talk. And I could give hugs and kisses, which I like to do, but to not be able to communicate, that was harder than I anticipated. But after I got home, I wish I would have listened and heard the Lord sooner on this instead of waiting until after we got back, because by the time we got back Tuesday night, I was pondering this, and I almost felt like, what I do? You know, I mean, there wasn't any reason to be there. I couldn't even talk. I couldn't even communicate. But then the takeaway was, and I hope I continue to learn this, is I didn't like this very much about myself, but that I depend way too much on my own ability to minister instead of just letting the Lord have his way and minister. So that was a good lesson through all of it. Another thing, too, was communion. When we did communion together, that was just such a blessing, because there we are breaking bread, you know, with our brothers and sisters in another culture. And even though I couldn't understand and communicate, that bond was so strong. And the last night before we left, on Monday night, we had worship before a service. And again, even though I couldn't understand it, the music was so beautiful, and the presence of the Lord, I mean, it was overwhelming. And there again, that made me, earlier in the week, I thought of these verses, Philippians 2:10-11, it says, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then one night when we were worshiping, or morning, I kind of forget which one, this jumped out at me as well. And I thought, this is the way it'll be. This is the way it'll be in heaven when we're all worshiping. Because, let me see if I can find it now. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And that's what I thought, how cool it will be when every tongue and every language is before the throne and we are worshiping the Lord together. So.
Jeff, your message did hit home today. The last thing
when I spoke in Mexico was, why should we go and minister elsewhere? We have so much need in our country. We have so much need here in our town. I'm storing those things up. That's what Jeff told me today. That's what the Lord told me today. When I had asked Jeff months ago to help me understand why there's a need to leave our country. Why is there a need to leave our city, our town, when there's so much here? My daughter, upset, why should she leave? Why do you need to leave? Why can't you do that here? Storing those things up. We need to give. We need to allow God to work through us and let his word be spoken through us. That he had given us a message, that he had given us a commission, that we need to carry that out from one end of the world to the next. And so I was storing those things up. That's my storehouse, that we could do that here, that we don't need to go anywhere else. And like MT said, I was crushed by the poverty, but overwhelmed by the love that these men and women had for the Lord, that despite what was going on in their life, they didn't worry about cable bills and electricity bills and water bills and things like that. They worried about what they're eating today. The biggest thing that impacted me was when we went to La Barra, and we had news that they haven't been out of the water for 5 days. And I was like, you know, Virgil, what's that like not being out on the water for 5 days? You know, they're fishermen. That's what they do. That's how they eat. That's how they survive. And it didn't compute. It didn't register. And when we got there, the women were preparing a meal. And it was empanadas, tortillas, and fish. It was a dried fish. So as the service went through, that dried fish was what they held in storehouses in case they couldn't get out on the water. They gave us their fish. They fed us well. They kept asking if we wanted more and more and more. They were giving us their food, their storehouse. And it didn't matter how much we wanted to eat, or, you know, we could put some in our pockets and take it away. That they would have loved that. They just kept giving and giving and giving. And it was just so overwhelming that they had such a love in their heart for relationship that we would come down and we would visit them, because it was almost a time where they were asking us not to come because of the rains. But the Lord pressed through and pushed us, and we went. And it wasn't very fun, ask Jeff, because Jeff and I rode in the back of the truck for an hour and a half each way. But it's only a short road. That's the truck that we drove or rode in. Jeff and I were in the back. That's the road. There I am. And so we're in the back for an hour and a half up and down a mountain, sometimes on two wheels going this way, sometimes two wheels going that way, because Maya was just a little race car driver. She was getting it. But it's really difficult to pinpoint highs and lows, because it was so overwhelming to me. I loved every minute of it. Though times when, you know, the food was too hot to eat because I was being not listening to my wife. Not listening to my wife. She said, "You can't eat that much." And I told her I could. And I paid for it. I did. So, the market. We went down through a lot of the area, the market, their mall, or our mall, and saw, I don't know, beef heads, pig heads, all kinds of things hanging. Yes, marvelous things that you could go and buy just as is. Queso, oh, wonderful stuff. But yeah, I mean, in a culture so poor in money, they're so rich and blessed in so many different ways. The food, here we go to store to get an orange or a banana or a papaya, and it's right here in the tree. You know, it's just growing. There's fruit falling off the tree on the ground that's sitting there rotting because it's so much fruit. And that's how they survive. It's just so wonderful how it is. So I'm sorry I don't have anything really phenomenal, but it was just an experience that I can't wait to do it again.
Some of you may know, may not know, that my parents were missionaries to Mexico when I was a young girl. And so I lived in Mexico from the age of 8 to 16. And so that's where I learned my Spanish. And that's where my love for Mexico and their people came from. And when Jeff asked a few years ago if I would go, I said, well, you know, let me think about it. And in my heart, I was saying, sign me up, let's go tomorrow. And yet, my husband didn't have that same desire to go. And I just felt the Lord telling me that I needed to be a submissive wife and wait for his timing. And so for a long time, I've prayed that the Lord would work in Sean's heart so that we could go together. And I'm so glad that I waited. This past week has been such an amazing, amazing time. You know, you get to know your brothers and sisters from your same fellowship really well if you're all crammed into a four-seat car, but Mary Teresa sat on the hump in the middle in the back, and so Jeff and Mary Teresa and I were in the back seat like this. We had no need for seat belts because we weren't going to go anywhere.
It was a small Jetta.
It was a small Jetta, so. But you get to know a lot about your friends and your dear brothers and sisters in Christ when you go on a trip like this. After we were doing some debriefing on the way home and our layover in Houston, Pat, the missionary that had been down there for 17 years, he asked us what our high points and what our low points were. And it really gave us time to think. We only had a few minutes to think about it, but those thoughts have kind of stayed in my heart about what was the high point, what was the low point. And I didn't mention it then, but Mary Teresa was talking about the poverty. And in this town where we had gone, you saw pictures of, it's actually in this church here. This is Benito Juarez. And this church is out an hour and a half. Took an hour and a half to get through the bumpy roads. You saw the picture of the truck. That's the outside of the building there. You saw pictures of the truck and the mud puddles. What that picture didn't show is when you were going through the mud puddle, the truck was actually at an angle like this, with two-thirds of the truck in the mud puddle. And you wondered, was our car even going to make it through the mud puddle to get to the other side? And then what if it didn't stop raining? How are we going to get home? And so a lot of our trip was just bathed in prayer. Lord, please, you know, make our tires, make our car float. Lord, please, you know, bring the rocks up underneath of the road into the mud puddle so we can get through. And this church, the families there are so poor. They do not, they barter. So if I have chickens or I have bananas and you want a banana but you have something that I want, well, then I'm going to give you some of my bananas so I can have some of your tortillas or your corn so I can make tortillas for my family. And there's one little girl there, just the sweetest little thing, maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 years old. And her clothes were all dirty and muddy, and her little sandals, flip-flop type sandals, were filthy and too small. And her feet looked like someone who had been working in a field for 25 years or more. Her toes were all calloused, and her feet were kind of malformed because she was wearing flip-flops all the time. And so I brought her over to me, and I asked her what her name was, and her name was Estrella, which means star. And she had no idea what a star was. And what broke my heart was I was hugging her and gave her a kiss, and she kind of repulsed from that. And I know there's kids here who have gone through some really difficult things in life and are put off by the thought of someone touching them in love. They're repulsed by a kiss, and that's what that little girl was going through. And as young as she was, that's how difficult her life had been up to this point. So that was really hard for me. I'm a hugger and a kisser like Mary Teresa, and that's really hard to see. It breaks your heart. And so, you know, part of our hearts, Mary Teresa and I were talking about this on our way back, you know, part of our hearts stayed there, and we just fell in love with the people, how generous they are, how much they, especially the ladies in the church, how much they love the Lord. Many of them are single moms, and, you know, they're struggling to eke out their existence. Many people live on less than a dollar a day, and some people gather trash from the street, cardboard and pieces of paper, and they take it to the recycling center and trade it off so they can get a few pesos so they can buy some beans for that day. One of the high points of our trip, a couple of things that the Lord did in my life while we were there. So on this slide, this was Sunday morning, and we had done a skit 5 or 6 days that we were there. I can't remember now. At least five times. We did a skit with the youth from the church. So Pat's on the left. Esther was a lady who was able to translate for us while we were there 2 or 3 times, and I was very grateful for that. And then, of course, Jeff and Mary Teresa, and then these other young people in the church. And what they had on their fronts of their shirts were messages like suicide, addiction, fear, loneliness, depression, anger, things like that that were on the front of their shirts. And we did this skit where Satan and his demons had had enchained a girl with these chains of all of these things. And so Sean's going to see if he can send it up to Sean so you can see a clip of it. But we did this skit, and what was amazing was we were able to share without words the love that God has and how he rescues every single one of us. Jesus Christ rescued every single one of us from our chains, and it didn't matter what chain we had on us. You know, even the chains of gossip or bitterness, the Lord can free us from that. And so we were able to share, and the youth had a big part in a playing that they actually put it together and showed us where to stand in. We practiced several times, and by the time Sunday night was done, we finally got it together. You know, the Lord just taught us so many things, how to work with one another, even though there was a communication barrier. Mary Teresa loved on these ladies, and she hugged them and prayed over them, and don't sell yourself short because you ministered in ways that I couldn't have. And the ladies were so grateful that we had been there to love on them. A couple of other things that the Lord taught me was just the need for prayer. On the nights that, well, we found out after the fact, kind of, that Esther was not going to be able to translate for us every night. And so they were like, oh, Renee, you speak Spanish? Great, you can translate for us. And I was like, oh my goodness, I have not been in Mexico for 30 years. How am I going to do this? And I just really just began to be in an attitude of prayer and asking the Lord to help me to put words in my mouth. And I'm telling you, he answered that prayer. He put words in my mouth that I didn't even remember, and gave me the words to speak, and, you know, just translating. And God is so good. He shows up in ways that we never imagine when we just pray and ask him. And his word promises us that you have not because you ask not. And it was an amazing time. I'll be quiet here. My time is up. One more thing that I wanted to share is, you know, Sean didn't really see the need for missions, for foreign missions. And as I mentioned before, the time that I prayed for him, I just prayed that the Lord would soften his heart and that he would show him why the need for foreign missions. And, you know, God works. God works in ways that we don't even imagine. We can't even begin to think of. And so the last night when we were sharing Monday night with the church leaders before we left, Sean got up to speak, and of course I had to translate for him, and this man who never cries began to tear up. And he said, "Now I know why God sent me here. It's because I needed to see that people all over the world need Jesus. Maybe more than what we do here in America. Our hearts are hardened towards things of God. We have so much stuff that gets in the way between us and God. And to see my husband break down and say, this is why. Now I know why I need to go. Now I know why I need to give. That was just such a blessing to me, to my heart. And we got home, we were sitting on the couch Wednesday night just kind of going, ugh, because we went back to work Wednesday morning after we got back, and he said to me, "So, you ready to go again?" And I need a little bit more time for recovery. But yes, you know, just to see that answer of prayer in my husband's heart and life has been amazing. And so I just want to thank you again for your prayers for us while we were there, your giving so that we can go. And continue to pray for the work that is in Mexico. Those people have nothing, and yet they give of themselves to bless others so that others can know our Lord and Savior. So continue to pray for them as we go through our days. We're grateful that we got to do fun things like this and be together as a team. It was amazing.
All right. Well, sounds like everybody got blessed. At the end of the trip, I said, "You see why we don't stay down here 2 weeks?" And they all said, "Yeah," wore out. But aside from the blessings we received, I want to share a little bit about some of the things that actually took place. There's a slide there or a picture there on Morelos. We went to a little town called Morelos. Yeah, that's Morelos. That's go back on the. There's another one on Morelos or two there. One of them in the daylight, I think. Yeah, that's. I see. No, that's Caravaca. There's the daylight. We set up in a street. This street was built like just a month ago, back in December. It was built, and it's at the top of a big hill. We set up all the chairs in that. First time they've ever done this. Now, these aren't our ideas. I want you to understand, we don't go in there and give them all the ideas what we want to do. We go in there and find out what they want to do, and we do it with them. All right? They made these plans. They decided to do this. I helped string the lights and stuff, but we they set up chairs in the street. We took the chairs out there and set them up in the street. And then they have kids' games. This is kind of the program everywhere we went. They had kids' games. They had games where the funniest little games. Take a marble and put it on the ground, take a balloon, blow it up, and try to push the marble along with the balloon. You ever see that before? I'd never seen it before. But it was fun. And the kids, whoever got the marble the farthest, the kid would get a prize. You know, then they always give a prize to the kid that didn't get the marble the farthest.
And for all you mamas out there who don't like germs, everybody shared the balloons. So I blew my balloon, and I got done. Then I handed it to them. And then they blew the same balloon that I had, two balloons for about 30 kids. It was great.
That's life with a balloon. Okay, we don't want to waste balloons, you know. But anyway, I didn't know that. That was kind of interesting. Anyway, that was kind of stuff. This lady right here, little Coco, she's the one that plans all those things. And, boy, she does an excellent job. They had other games besides that. They had the one where you tie the balloon to the foot and you stomp it out and all that kind of stuff. And they had other games and stuff. And the kids just love this kind of stuff. They just come from everywhere. Well, at Morelos, you can see the tarp there. That's where we did the drama. We had to,
in the drama, you have to fall down on the ground. And I was so happy that they thought about a tarp because the ground was, it was all mud and stuff, and you just didn't want to fall in the mud. So they brought a tarp for us to fall on and some paper boxes there and stuff. But anyway, when this, go to the next one, Sean, if you could, where it shows the crowd, if there is a one that shows the crowd, I'm not sure. Yeah, crowds started coming. We had over 50 kids and over 50 adults at this town. Now, for most of you, that won't be much, but for us that know Morelos, Morelos is a very hard place. There are no evangelical churches in Morelos except this church right here. And they've been working there. Well, my wife and I and kids went back in, remember the bus church? That Nathan? Bus church, the bus church. They got an old bus they park out there, and they had a put a tarp over it, and we had church out there and invite the community. They've been working there for years. Now there's a pastor there that goes there every week and works there. Okay? This was a big meeting. They've never had a meeting this big for people to turn out to hear the gospel. Now, Sean stood up. I think there's a picture of him standing, him and Renee. If you want to move on to another one there, Morelos. I think that's Caravaca. Is that all you got? Maybe I didn't send you the one. But Sean, do it. What they're doing. This is Renee sharing her testimony. She shared her testimony the first night we were there. Very effective. We had a good number of people there, about 50, 60 people. And we introduced the crowd there. Yeah, that's still in Caravaca. That's another street meeting we had the day before. Okay? And we had a good response there. But here we had 20, Sean shared his testimony, and we had 25 people respond to the gospel there. They got up, came forward, there they are, standing around the altar, and they're praying with them right there. People going around praying with them, we're praying with them, and they responded to the gospel. Crowds was all standing up on the sidewalk over there, and that was an exciting night for us to see that happen. And then, is there a picture of everybody standing together afterwards, a group of people standing there? I don't know if there is or not. No? Well, afterwards, we met a young man who'd been living in Morelos. He'd lived in the States for 20 years, went back to the United States, went back to Mexico. Him and his wife, I believe, know the Lord. They seem to be, you know, where they ought to be with God. And so we put him in connection with the pastor there. We're hoping that they can start something from that little nucleus of willing hearts and willing people. So that was what was accomplished while we were there. We were doing things like this every day. We went to five different places, five different churches, and did this. Benito Juarez, Morelos, Caravaca, and in San Andres. And that's what we were involved in. We saw people saved. I wanted to tell you about Benito Juarez. In Benito Juarez, a young girl came up. She was a young little girl, and she was all bent over. Her back was just in terrible pain. They prayed for her, and she was totally healed. Totally healed. Yeah. You know, yeah, all us Christians stand around going, she's healed? Wow, you know, that's great. You know, like, yeah, because she came to the church the next night an hour away to tell us that she was healed. So, you know, she no more pain. She had been in pain for months, and no more pain, and she was healed. Now, in that same little village, the little house that Mary Teresa went to where she got the tortillas and started crying, well, the man that was the head of that household, he had something come over his face. He had like a shadow or something all over his face, like he'd been bruised real badly, and he was blind in this eye from something, some affliction. We don't know what it was. You guys got that? Is that him there? That's him. That's Enos. That's his name, Enos. That's the little house they were in. He came to the church after they went down to visit him. He came to the church, and he had prayer because he'd had this problem. Tell you how bad it was. Every year he gets about 8 barrels of corn. He plants corn on a hill about like that, and he gets about 8 barrels of ear corn. This year he was only able to get 2 barrels of ear corn because he was sick. He couldn't function. So when he gave Mary Teresa and all the people there corn tortillas that they had made themselves, they ground the corn themselves, they were really giving something because he had a fourth of what he normally gets every year because he was sick. Came to the church, and it went forward at the end and asked for prayer. We got a phone call the day after we arrived back. Inez has been healed. Isn't that exciting? Maya, the pastor of the church, bothered to call us and said, he's been healed. He's seeing again. So we were all excited about that. I don't know if you guys even knew all of that, but that's what happened. And there they are. There's this brother on the left there with the hat turned backwards. That's Alex and his little wife, Claudia, right there in the middle in the blue. This is the connection we made in Morelos. That 25 people came forward. We're believing God gave us these people. Folks, it's like the book of Acts hasn't ever ended, okay? You still go to villages. You still meet people that God puts in your way. You begin to disciple them. I really believe that I met this man. I talked with him. I really believe he's a solid man. I believe that he can be discipled, and I'm excited about what God's doing in Morelos. We need a man in Morelos. We can't have a guy living in America trying to pastor a church in Morelos. We got to have a man in Morelos working in Morelos, and that's what's exciting about that. Oh, yeah, there's Labara fish. That's a mohari. I think they call that a mohari fish. Virgil, in case you're interested. You catch those in the Gulf, okay? It's a little bit skinny, but if you eat enough of them, you're okay. All right. And they had good habanero sauce. Habanero. Anybody know what a habanero is? They whipped up this habanero sauce, and Sean thought it looked just like the other sauce he'd eaten somewhere else, and he smothered all over his empanada. And, man, it lit him up. The problem was it was an hour and a half truck ride back to the hotel. When he got back to the hotel, man, he went running. Oh, he's got the video. Okay. Y'all want to stick? I mean, we're going to eat lunch here in a little bit. Look, it's getting late, but we want to have, this too. But what? I'm gonna get spiritual again, I promise. Okay, we're going to watch the video, okay? Here we go. Y'all didn't even have to know Spanish to understand that, did you? It's a powerful testimony. When I first time I saw it, I just wept. I thought, man, that's a powerful drama. Anyway, well, we're thankful for all your support and for your prayers and helping us do this trip. We feel like God was with us. It was a little rough getting down there. I remember on the road to San Andreas in the little Volkswagen we were talking about, we hit a hole and both hubcaps flew off of one side of the vehicle, and we bent the rims, and we had to go back to find the hubcaps. Fortunately, Sean saw them out of the corner of his eyes flying, and or we'd had to pay for hubcaps. So we was able to, so we just took all the hubcaps off. The time we got San Andreas, the thing looked like a sports car. It looked like one of them mud runners or something. But anyway, God helped us. Listen, we're going to have communion now. So let's have prayer, and we just invite you, if you're born again and know the Lord Jesus, to partake in this communion today. And everything that's been shared today, may you just, if God's spoken to your heart, just receive what the Lord has for you today through our time of communion. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these elements. We thank you, God, for blessing us on this trip and keeping us and watching over us. We thank you for protection, but we also thank you, God, for the work you did through us, for working through our lives and being able to touch the lives of others, God, who need help and need encouragement, need salvation. Thank you, God, for all your work in our lives. And the Lord, as we partake of these elements today, Lord God, help us remember it's because of Jesus that we're able to do anything. Lord, you told us without you we can do nothing, Lord. And so we're reminded once again as we come to the table that you are our Lord and our God, and we give thanks in your name, Jesus. Amen.